Bill Kipper and Bourne Show live and in color on Sportsnet and Sportsnet 650 in Vancouver and Sportsnet 960 in Calgary. This hour of Real Kipper and Bourne brought to you by Bet365. Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, as we get ready for Battle of Canada once again.
Wonderful weekend of sports coming up. PGA Championship Major. You got these excellent Game 6s, potentially Game 7s. NBA playoffs cooking up. Blue Jays are there too. Just a wonderful weekend of sports, boys.
It's very exciting.
And I'm probably going to be outside the whole time, but it's going to be great.
You're golfing it up.
Oh, yeah.
We got Rob Brown in a few minutes to help us tee up Edmonton and Vancouver. Adam Graves, New York Ranger, great. Yes. Will join us as well as we get ready for Game 6 between the Rangers and Carolina. But in the meantime, a lot of heat on Petey. I know you guys talked about it.
Yeah, we had Richie
over. Like everyone else, it's just gotten beaten to a pulp. The poor guy that there's been 3 days between these games, yes. It's just been them. You know, it's like Mitch would have felt here in Toronto. Endless.
It's very similar.
The other thing, too, is we listened to him talking to the media, and he's not giving much at all.
Not much to inspire you out of his latest presser?
Not much.
Would you like to hear that clip?
Sure. What do you got for us?
All right, let's play it, Derek.
From your perspective, why has it been so difficult these last 3 months to generate the way you maybe did previously?
Yeah, good question.
Ooh. Any thoughts, any answers?
No.
Ooh. Okay, that's not helping. That is not helping him.
Yeah, it's certainly not making it. That was from yesterday. It's certainly not improving things.
I heard one person say that they liked the idea that he almost seemed defiant there. Like it's a bit of an FU.
Why? To who? To the
person asked the question. Like the idea that like he can't figure it out or he's struggling, like I'm going to be fine. Don't worry about me.
You can say that, but you don't have to come off so standoffish.
I
think he's making a horrible mistake. The team just gave you $90 million. Yeah. You got to come up with something better than no.
Yeah, good question.
Good question.
It
makes it
good question.
It makes it adversarial, which it doesn't need to be. Someone is just saying, hey, give us your perspective on what's happening here. So I'm with you on that.
If he can come in with any type of sincerity saying, I'm as frustrated as you are.
Yeah.
Something that can hold, just then you're fine.
And be like, hey, I'm not doing anything different to me. I'm trying to figure out what...
We know you don't have the answer for us.
Yeah.
But just come across like...
What are you going to try next?
I'm not the Edmonton Oilers here. I'm just asking the question.
Mm-hmm.
I have to say, as a fan watching this stuff, one of the most impressive things to me is that these guys do this so little that the NHL guys, I think it's a little bit more adversarial in other sports, but in the NHL, they just give after heartbreaking losses, after heated losses, after all that they can just go up there. Like if I went up there after a loss and people, I'd be just like I don't know how they are so professional about it. Mm-hmm. It's always been something I've admired about them. Like Tavares, how do you just keep saying these robot things over and over? Is there nothing in you that makes you want to say one thing one time? They barely any of them ever do it. It blows my mind. That's why it sticks out so much, and especially a guy in his situation.
I'm not sure
how
much effort they put into it or where they prioritize the importance of being in that moment. Like you know the heat's on you. You know that they're kind of come at you, the media at least, why aren't you scoring? You know you're making $90 million. Like, you got to be prepared enough. He's been around long enough to, he should have better tools to de-escalate the situation.
Yeah.
That's all. And all he did was just pour gasoline on it.
Typically when these guys sign these big contracts, some of the struggles are because they want to reward the city and reward the team, right? For the money they've been given, and it's frustrating for them and they can't figure out maybe trying too hard or something, but to your point, Kip, he can just say that if that's the case.
But then
he's been bad for months, though.
Yeah, but pretty much when you watch him sign the contract,
there's no fighting that dog like others.
No.
And Rick Tocchet sees it, and he is one of half a dozen that says, if you're scoring or not scoring, I don't care. I'm not seeing enough fight in you. Like, there's board
we've seen
battles.
Him run some people over here and there.
It's just not enough.
Yeah.
It's just not enough.
You know, everyone's got their theories on it. Part of me today driving in, because I've been thinking about it too, is like, you know, sometimes it's not that complicated. It's just you're being a little more passive than usual. The puck doesn't bounce your way. The other team is obviously defending you a little harder. You've been keyed on for a series. And, you know, when I'm in the ECHL, I look like an awesome player. But I go up a level and you don't even notice me. That was my experience as a player. For Petey, in the regular season, he's unbelievable. He's a, you know, a 90-point guy or whatever. And it goes up a level in the postseason. And he hasn't found that next level yet. And I think it's there. I'm not saying he's not going to get there, but sometimes the game going up above you, you know, take that one more notch can kind of make you irrelevant if you're an offensive guy. Maybe it's just the hockey. Maybe it's not some mental thing where he's, you know, people are diagnosing this guy. He's depressed. He wants out of Vancouver. He's like, hey, relax. It might just be him figuring out the hockey game.
And there's plenty of time here to win a series for the Vancouver Canucks.
Plenty of time. It's 2-2 going home, baby. They got a chance here.
A couple of matches and decent games.
He ends up with 2 or 3 points tonight, and all is forgiven.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just saying, there's enough time.
Yes.
There's plenty of time.
So how do you, as a coach, jumpstart a guy like him? Well, we can have that conversation after, because we have the Oilers side of things about to be represented. Rob Brown.
So, you know, no, Brownie would be a perfect guy because Brownie was paid to produce. Brownie knows what it's like to step on the ice and say, I only got one job, and that's to find a way to put the puck in the net. So, Brownie, you tell me what Pettersson's going through right now in Vancouver.
Well, he's got the weight of the world on his shoulders now. Rick Tocchet made sure of that. I would hope that before this happened that this would have been a conversation between Tocchet and Pettersson privately or in the dressing room, and that eventually it escalated to the point that he called him out publicly. One of two things are going to happen. I'm sure that you've played with a bunch of these players too, Kipper, where the coach gets on it and kicks the player in the butt and screams at him and yells at him, and the player either responds by going out there and saying, screw you, I'm going to show you how good I am, or the player curls up in the corner and can't handle the pressure. I played for Hitch as a 15 or 16-year-old. I learned very quickly to say, screw you, coach. I'm going to go out and show you I'm better because that's the way he coached. But there are players that I've played with. When the coach wrote them, they got worse. They couldn't handle the pressure. And I guess we're going to find out in the next few hours if Elias Pettersson's a guy that when the spotlight is on him, if he gets bigger or if he shrinks, because he has not been good in this series. And the Vancouver's Canucks, despite their best player not being around in this series and their top goalie being out, are tied 2-2. Imagine where they could be if Pettersson was at the playing to the ability that he has, because he's a much better player than we've seen.
I think that's the frustration right now for Canucks fans, is they feel like they've been in games and, you know, 2-2 is good, but maybe they want a little bit more. Give us your overall view of the series so far, how it's gone versus how you expected it to go.
Well, I called before the series. I thought the Oilers would win in six. And so far, the Canucks have done their part for me by winning the two games.
Yeah.
I think for carrying the play, I think the Oilers have carried more of the play, had more of the better chances offensively. I think Stuart Skinner didn't play to the capabilities that he's able to. And a couple of those goals that were scored allowed the Canucks to stay in games. I believe the Canucks goaltending has been fantastic. Shelov's been amazing in this series. And the Canucks, I give them credit. They have this don't say die attitude. They're never out of the game. Their willingness to block shots, to throw hits, to dive, to get pucks out of their zone, their compete level is through the roof. They are full deserving to be in this series, but I do believe that tonight's game is more important to the Canucks than it is to the Oilers. I do believe that if the Canucks win tonight, you know, they set themselves up pretty good. If the Oilers lose tonight, I still think the Oilers can win on home ice and win game 7. I don't know if the Canucks, if they lose, can go in and win game six in Edmonton. I think this is tonight. This is the Canucks game seven tonight. I think if they win this game, they have a chance. But I mean, anything can happen. It's just a weird series. We were just talking the other day in September. If someone has said the Canucks and the Oilers are going to game five, we're like, fantastic. And it's been, it's the goaltending is the talk of this series. Like, oh, Demko and Skinner, Demko and Campbell are having fantastic series. And the fact that Shelov and Pickard playing in game five just shows you that both teams' seasons went a little sideways at some point.
We're talking to Rob Brown, former National Hockey Leaguer, Edmonton Oilers analyst for Ched. So how big or gutsy was the decision by the Oilers to make a switch in net?
I think it was huge. Before the game, I said I would have played Skinner. It's the safer bet. He's your number one guy. We lost with our number one guy. We gave him a chance. So to go to a third string journeyman type goaltender was a gutsy call by the coach. Having said that, Pickard was excellent. He was excellent all year long. One of the main reasons the Oilers were able to make their surge up the standings was the play of Pickard, because they were able to play him. And they didn't have to run Skinner into the ground. They didn't have to make a trade for a goaltender, which would have taken someone off the roster somewhere else. So Calvin Pickard, through his play this year, earned the right to be called upon in a playoff game. And it was a feel-good story for their team. Here's a guy that I think someone on our podcast, it's like been 4,000 days since his first NHL win to his first playoff win. That's a pretty incredible story. So I'm glad they went with Pickard tonight. I think it's the right call tonight in this hockey game. He won the game last game. He deserves to have the crease again.
I was with you. I said before the game, like, I would have started Skinner, because if Pickard wins, then what? Then you're now Pickard's your starting goalie? Like, that's not a situation you want to be in, but I guess you just kind of make it the situation until he loses a game, then give the ball back to Skinner to try again?
I guess it all depends on how the game goes. If the Oilers win 7-6 tonight, then okay, I can make a case that Skinner goes in. But if Pickard comes in, they win a game, and he plays well again, then yeah, you go with Skinner. Or excuse me, Pickard. You go with Pickard again. You got to go with your hot. It's not a time of year for petting in the National Hockey or looking after the feelings of players. It's about wins and losses. And the Edmonton Oilers, rightly or wrongly, said cup or bust in training camp. This is a team that's built for today. And if right now you feel that Calvin Pickard gives you the best chance of winning this game and this series, then Calvin Pickard's the guy. And he's earned the right with the way he's played all season long.
Brown of the Oilers, another power play goal in game four. That gives him one in every game so far. And once upon a time, you were part of a pretty potent power play with the likes of Mario Lemieux. I mean, what is it with this power play that we've really never seen before?
Well, first, Connor McDavid is the greatest power play player the NHL has ever seen. And I've played with Mario. I've played against Gretzky and Messier and all these greats. But on the power play, I don't think anybody can do what he does. First, it starts with the fact that he carries the puck from his own zone in. They have 100% guaranteed entry every single time the puck gets dumped down. Every time. And that's no other team in the National Hockey League can do that. When they get in the offensive zone, they have five players that can pass. They have five players that can shoot. When you look at other great power plays in the NHL, you look at Tampa, for example, you know where Kucherov and Stamkos are going to be standing the whole time. They're still successful. They execute great, but you always know where they are. And if you're a penalty killer, you're trying to get into that passing lane or shooting lane. You can't play passive against the Oilers, because if the passing lane's not there, they move. Connor McDavid starts on the blue line. He ends up below the goal line. He's in the slot. He's now in front of the net. Draisaitl moves everywhere. And it's really hard for a penalty killer, because you think, okay, I've got him. He's in the right spot. And then all of a sudden you look, he's gone, and the pass goes by you. Their retrieval is as good as any in the National Hockey League. If there's a loose puck, I got my money on the Edmonton Oilers winning that loose puck. And then the biggest thing is their skill level is better than any in the National Hockey League. I mean, Leon Draisaitl, when he scores from a foot off the goal line, you think, okay, as a defender, okay, Leon, okay, I got him in a bad shooting area. Good. Mm-hmm. Okay, he's one less guy to think about. If it goes to him, there's no way he can score from there. And then it goes from him and he scores. He has his feet below the goal line and hits the net. So even when you do everything right as a penalty killer, they can still make you pay. You just need, to me, it's a lot of luck, and fantastic goaltending is the only way that you get through it. And the only way you can have any success against the Oilers' power play is by staying out of the penalty box.
Such good analysis, just because, like, yeah. You know, as you see McDavid and he's swirling around the O-zone, he's in the slot, he's on one bumper, he's below the goal line. Like, how do you do with your coverage?
A great example was the Leon goal last game. The Canucks did a great job keeping the stick in the lane, the passing lane, not allowing it. So McDavid just kept moving until eventually he found the passing lane. No other team in the National Hockey League does this. So yeah. The Canucks are not going to win if they take penalties because the Oilers' power play is just too good.
So I'm hoping you could tease out for us the Ekholm-Bouchard pairing. A lot of people were talking about, like, the Bouchard, his stats. Like, this guy should be in the Norris conversation. I had one of the two on my Norris ballot. I had Ekholm in my fifth spot, not Bouchard. I think that he's just the anchor. I mean, last couple games he gets run and then he scores, and he gets run and then Nugent Hopkins scores. It doesn't matter. He just seems to make the right plays no matter how many times you hit this guy.
Well, it's funny. Going into they're announcing who's going to be up for the Norris. They're talking about Makar and Hughes. And then coming into this series, they're comparing Hughes with Bouchard. And I said, and they're like, well, does Bouchard deserve to be in the Norris? Is he deserved to be in the conversation with those players? And I'm like, well, to be honest, Bouchard is fantastic. Has a great year. And his upside is huge. But he's not the best defenseman on his team. Matthias Ekholm's the best defenseman. Bouchard is going to get all the print. And one year, he's going to score 25 goals in this league. He might score 30. Yeah. He could be a 100-point guy. And he will eventually be in the Norris conversations. But right now, Matthias Ekholm is their best defenseman. And he is one of the best in the National Hockey League. And he does everything. And I'm sure, and I've never talked to Bouchard about this, but I'm sure he will credit some of the success he's had with being paired with Ekholm when Ekholm came over last year at the trade deadline. He just settled down, Evan.
Yeah.
And just settle down and gave him the confidence. Be who you are. Don't worry about the mistakes. I'm there for you if you make a mistake. But Ekholm just gives you everything. He blocks shots. Physical, not in a Soucy or Zadorov way, but a physical where he just eliminates you from the play. He jumps up. He's got more offense than anyone expected. And he was hidden at times in Nashville because he's behind Roman Josi, who's one of the greatest in the league. But now we're getting to see on a nightly basis, oh, when he's lugging the mail, he makes good decisions, makes pretty plays, and he's got a bomb of a shot. So 100%, I love the fact that you put him on the Norris ballot because I do believe he's one of the best defensemen in the National Hockey League.
Bouchard has settled somewhat defensively, though, not making nearly the mistakes that we've seen in the past. If he's going to win a Norris, he's got to win it like Carlson's won it the last couple. Like
massive points.
Yeah. Massive. Just big numbers.
I agree, and he's got the ability to do that. If this Oiler team keeps both Leon and Connor, they've got Hyman and Nuge are locked up for years. Their power play is going to be good for years, and Bouchard's part of that. He's going to get his points. But I was talking about this just the other day. If you look at the body of work that Evan Bouchard has put together in the playoffs, and I was a guy that's talked about Bouchard all season long, great offensive defenseman, not yet a great defenseman, because there's more than just scoring points. But in this playoff run, he's been very good in both ends. I can't remember the big mistake that he's made yet in the playoffs. I can't remember where he hasn't eliminated a guy that he should have, or in front of the net get caught looking the wrong way. He's been very, very good. Both ends. I mean, you don't play 31 minutes like you did a couple nights ago unless you're on top of your game, both in the offensive and defensive zone. So as much as there's still warts in his games and he's still learning to play at this level, I think he's made huge strides in this playoffs to be becoming a better all-round defenseman. And the Oilers have needed all of those minutes out of him because there have been struggles on the back end. Bouchard has not been part of those struggles.
Brownie, going into the series, I had trouble seeing a way that the Canucks were going to hang with Edmonton, but they are hanging with Edmonton. What needs to happen here? Is it just production from the bottom six, even strength? What are you seeing out of the Oilers that has kept it from being, I think most people had them as a favorite, so kept it from being how most people thought it would go?
Well, I think in the first few games, goaltending, I think that, not that Skinner was bad, but you got a goalie in one end, Shelov's making these huge saves, taking away goals. You mean you stopped Leon Draisaitl in back-to-back breakaways? I mean, those are sure things. I've watched all season long. So the Oilers weren't getting the save. So that's the one big thing. And in all honesty, they're getting one line scoring. It's been behind Connor and Leon and their power play. The Oilers haven't got a point out of their third line in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Their fourth line doesn't play enough minutes. They get 6 minutes. They're not getting enough to produce at all. But up until last game, Evander had been quiet in this series. RNH has been quiet in this series. Fogle, McLeod, Perry. They need more of those players. So right now the Vancouver Canucks they're trying to survive a shift when Connor and Leon are out. And then they get a big, sigh. Okay, we got another 3 minutes before we have to, okay, here comes the stress again. So if the Oilers can find some production in their bottom six, then all of a sudden the 3-2 game is a 5-3 game or a 5-2 game. But they're not getting that separation because they're not getting anything out of their bottom six. Although if you look at the opposite side, I mean, Elias Pettersson, who I believe is being moved up tonight, he's been going head-to-head against the McLeod line. Neither line scored any goals. It's one of those ones that Vancouver really should have had a huge edge, and they weren't able to take advantage of it. So tonight's game, if either team gets something out of their bottom six, that's probably the team that's going to win the hockey game.
Oilers did get a big hit out of Evander Kane, though, on Hronek on the game-winning goal on 100%. I got to assume that we're going to see some more of that tonight. Zadorov-Kane kind of matchup. It's been fun to watch, hasn't it?
It has. I've got a newfound respect for Zadorov from the Canucks. I tell you, whatever team he plays for, he's the fan favorite. Yeah. And I'm watching him from afar. I'm an Oiler fan, Oiler guy. I'm like, okay, that guy is good to watch. Yeah. He plays the game the right way. I do believe there will be physicality because you got Soucy back in the lineup. I think they certainly missed him last game. But what the Canucks realize is you can't run out of position to make big hits. We saw Joelsson, how you pronounce his name? Joelsson makes the, I mean, he runs out of position. Not only does he take himself out, but he stopped two back checkers from getting back in time because he just cleaned house. So you can't do that against the Oilers. But I do believe the Canucks have to be physical, and they have been, and it's been effective. I thought the game-winning goal by the Oilers the other night doesn't happen if Kane doesn't run Hronek through the boards. And then all of a sudden, the rest of the shift, Hronek he looked fatigued, looked tired, didn't force Leon down low, allowed the best passer in the National Hockey League all the time in the world to survey the scene and make the right play. But I think it's going to be another one-goal game. I really do. I think Vancouver's going to come out with their best effort. You have players getting called out. You've got Soucy back in the lineup. You have a couple new guys jumping into their lineup. I think this is going to be the Canucks' best game of the series, and I do believe the Oilers will match it.
Good game coming tonight, Kip. I think we're out of time.
Yep. Awesome stuff, Brownie. Really appreciate your time. Thanks for doing this.
Brownie, you're the best.
Anytime, guys.
Thanks, pal.
That is Rob Brown.
Take care, guys.
He was so good on the Edmonton power play.
I know. It's a guy who can...
And he's absolutely right. That is like 100% entry.
The free entry is massive because you saw the Leafs all playoffs fail at that.
Oh, did they?
They did.
Oh, okay.
But the toughest part as a PK guy is figuring out the rotation. Like, okay, it moves here. Is it me? Is it you? Where are we going? And when McDavid just circles around, it's like, it's me, it's me, it's me. I'm kind of in your zone. Is it you? Where are we? And it's internet.
When you have a guy that's automatic from the sideboards too, that's helpful.
Also helpful, yeah.
the pass that Brownie was like kind of no look right in the tape, bang with three guys on McDavid. Yeah. What do you do?
I was thinking you can't get the most out of a guy like McDavid unless you have someone like Draisaitl, someone who can take advantage of all the looks he creates. And
he's legitimately scoring like a close to a Gretzky pace in the playoffs. Like he's unbelievable.
Draisaitl.
Yes. He is a ridiculous. Somebody tweeted us as like, why can't
McDavid called him the second best player in the world?
Well, of course he did. That's his teammate.
He did though. I'm better than him? Because he is, but it's just...
Classic hockey...
Top player in the world.
He's actually McCarr, and then Draisaitl.
Yeah, that's right. You would never say it's me. Yeah.
Think about how much Edmonton's going to have to spend on him if they want to get him signed.
Draisaitl?
July 1st.
Oh, my God. So much money.
15, 16.
16?
Buddy, numbers are going up in this
league. Numbers are going up. If they want to get him signed on a long-term deal... You're doing the math on
$100 million
salary cap.
So yeah, Matthews got 13.5.
That's Kelly Olynyk money.
16 is sixteen won't be a stretch on a long-term deal for Leon Draisaitl.
Wow.
Well, you know what? Good. The hockey money is pathetic compared to the other pro sports. Let's ramp it up.
Yeah.
All right, we're doing game time?
Let's hit a break so we can get back for a gravy, and then we'll do game time after.
Sounds good, Sammy. Good plan.
Thanks,
good
bud.
Producing.
Thank you.
All right. You heard the man. We're back after these words.
Covering the Blue Jays from an analytical perspective, Jays Talk Plus with Blake Murphy. Be sure to subscribe and download Jays Talk on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Vic Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee. A couple minutes, we'll get Adam Graves to help us tee up the New York Rangers, Carolina.
Here's a great question on the text line. Hello, gentlemen. Please ask the panel and Kipper. So I guess ask myself and Bourne and Kipper. If Dreisaitl's worth $15 to $16 million, the following year on July 1st, can they, McDavid, how much is he worth? $17 to $19 million, says John?
Yeah, that's a good question. I probably would have said a year ago that somehow, some way, if you're the Edmonton Oilers, you got to come up with a number that would include both of them. So 30, 32 million, and you guys figure it out.
Interesting.
17 and 15 or something.
17, 15.
I don't think McDavid would run away, take that much more than the next highest guys.
No, he'd have to have that in consideration. Yeah. So
okay, interesting.
We didn't have to deal with any of that salary cap stuff when we played, thank goodness, Adam, right?
It was, yeah, exactly, Kip. You remember those meetings we used to have back in the day with Heels?
Was that Don't Tell Anyone What You Make? Was that the meeting?
No, actually, salary disclosure came out when Bob Goodnow came in the early 90s, and then things obviously changed. But No, we were together in the lockout of right after the Cup in 94, and myself and Kipper and Heels ran the meeting. So I'm not sure how efficient it was, but we had a lot of fun.
All I remember is the cart came in, loaded with the beer cart came in.
This will fix it.
This will help us come up with answers. Gravy, how are you?
Hey, Barney, we'll leave it at that.
I get the picture.
Exactly.
I got it.
All right, so big game tonight. Thanks for joining us. Let's get your thoughts in terms of Carolina extending this series and what it means to the New York Rangers now going into what will be a very hostile environment in Carolina.
Well, everyone knows from seeing this team in Carolina, the type of support they get. And it's a building that is electric down there. The relationship between the team and the community and the city is extraordinary. And when you have a coach like Brenda Moore and the way he played, and I often say this, that players will take on the character of their coach, and Carolina is no different. And when you think about, even though this is a second round, you have the number one team in the league playing the number three team in the league, and there was 3 points separating the two teams, and every shift of every game has been incredible. And for me, the hockey played in this series has been just absolutely outstanding. And as much as I'm wearing a lot of blue, like Borny there, I'm also a hockey fan, and I will tell you that hockey's never been better. The skill level in all the series across the National Hockey League, but in the playoffs, Kipper, and you know, it ramps up a little bit because you get a little bit of the old style with the physicality. It comes up to a different level where every hit is every opportunity. Guys are finishing their checks. To just the skill level, to the power plays, to the adjustments from game to game. And you see it in every series, but certainly this series, the hockey has been spectacular, in my opinion.
And, you know, Gravy, we're going to get back on the ice in a sec, but I am fascinated by your title with hockey and business operations, because you've seen the passion from fans in New York there since, you know, going back, obviously, a lot of years. You guys win a President's Trophy this year. What is it like? What is the fan base like now compared to what it used to be? Is there, I guess, more? Is it less passionate? Just your sense in the different vibe from maybe the early 90s till now.
Well, I would say a few things, and certainly in the early 90s, and Kip will tell you that it is an absolute privilege and gift to wear that jersey and be on Garden Ice. But I would also tell you that the game has grown so much, whether you're looking at a guy like Adam Fox, Norris Trophy winner, from Long Island, grew up, following the Rangers, as have other players in the National Hockey League. But when you think of the Industry Growth Fund, which is the National Hockey League and the NHL Players Association, which is trying to grow the game in New York, it's probably the fastest growing market in all of the United States when you look at it. And our Junior Rangers program has between 12 and 14,000 kids with sticks in their hand, whether it's school programs, on ice, learn to play, our girls program. We have a Pee-wee team that we send to Quebec, boys Pee-wee team, and a girls Pee-wee team that we send to tournaments, hopefully in Quebec next year. So the growth of the game has been amazing. And I'd like to think in a small way, we might have had a little bit of influence on that in the early 90s, but certainly as it's moved forward and into the 2000s, this Industry Growth Fund has been amazing in what it's done for the game and opportunity, and giving these kids an opportunity to put a stick in their hand, a full set of equipment, 12 weeks of 1 hour, and what it means. And it's not just the boys, it's boys and girls, families. And for me, the growth of the game has been outstanding. And when you look at going to a game at the Garden, in the 90s, I can remember when John Amarante was singing the national anthem in Game 7. You couldn't hear him sing. Mm-hmm. I will tell you that it has come back to that level of energy at the Garden now. When it's John Brantsey who sings, it is amazing. And it's one of those buildings, and I will tell you, I'm down there all the time. You want to be in the building 15, 20 minutes, a half an hour before the drop of the puck, because so much of anything people talk about back in our day, how about this game? How about this play? Do you remember? Kinda. But you remember everything around it. You remember the parade, the friendships, the meetings. Kip, but we won't go back to that. But it's a camaraderie. It's being at the rink in the morning and having our team stretch with Eddie Olczyk, and listening to Heels and Kipper back and forth, and then Mike Richter. It's all those personal and those the energy and the people and the interactions. But the energy at the Garden is it's right back to its highest level, and it's an amazing place to play in. And it's one of those buildings that you want to be in there early. And it's no different now for the Knicks, as you know. You've seen the Knicks on the NBA side, and how close our two organizations are. You know, we're brothers in the same organization, and the energy when you have both teams, you know, having some success in the playoffs, it just brings the energy level, sport energy level in the city to a completely different level.
We're talking to Adam Graves, former NHLer, Ranger, great hockey business operations with the Rangers. So, Gravy, a guy like Chris Kreider is really moved up the ranks in legendary status with the New York Rangers, and just one of those guys where it took a while, but could be very influential here in the next couple of games here for the Rangers.
Well, when you talk about Chris, and I've known him since he was 18 years old, and I can remember his first development camp. He came into camp, and that was when he was jumping out of pools with, unlike you and I, Kip, where we roll out of a pool, jump out one leap. But he was maybe 6'1", 185 pounds. And you see him now where, 6'3", 235 pounds. He's as dedicated an athlete as there is. What he does in the community, his leadership both on and off the ice. But for me, his evolution as a player and his small area game that he has just taken to another level. I think if you look statistically without getting into analytics, as far as sticks on pucks and tips and being able to make plays in tight areas around the net, his game has gone to a completely different level. And that's why, in the history of the New York Rangers, which is in 98 years now, going on 100, he scored more playoff goals than anyone in the history of organizations. So he's a guy that first and foremost is just a character guy. And he always saves his best for the most important times in the game, and certainly most important times of the season. But it stems from character. And he's a guy that with his speed, and he can beat you in a lot of ways, but his small area game is really, he's taken it to a completely different level.
So anytime you have success in the playoffs, you need a couple of guys to sort of take a step and produce maybe beyond what expectations were. Has Lafreniere been that guy? Like, just from the outside looking in, it seems like this guy has found a level here that people had hoped he would eventually get to.
Well, Barney, I'll tell you this. This team, it's as much as it's an incredibly talented group, and organically they've grown because of their youth, is now kind of growing into, you know, into men and getting man strong. Mm-hmm. Whether that's Lafreniere, Kako, Snyder, Miller. I mean, I could go on and on about all the younger guys that you have 3 or 4 or 5 years in the National Hockey League. You grow in, you've grown into your body. Mentally, you're growing into understanding the game and what it takes to have success. But the interesting part is when you look at this team, it's a team that at different points throughout the entire season have depended on different lines to step up and different players to step up at different points in their special teams, as an example. You know, their power play, you've seen the way you know, and I will tell you, any 7-game series, teams are going to make adjustments, and you're going to make adjustments both to defend, and then offensively on the reverse side of the coin, you're going to make adjustments to counteract their adjustments. So there's always that humbling factor. But this team, including Lafreniere and their lineup, they're a team that really depends on each other. And if you shut down one line, whether it's the Trocheck line, then you know, you still have to deal with the Savanejad line, and then you've got the Cooley line with Kako. So they've got a lot of different, and even you know, when you talk about, you know, Rempe on the fourth line, you know, that what they bring to a game with Goudreau, who is obviously a proven winner, a 2-time Stanley Cup champion. So they've got a lot of different elements and certainly on their back end, you see their, you know, their defense that has matured both organically because of age, but also because of experience and the number of years in the league, and they've got a little bit of everything back there. So, and then on top of that, the goaltending tandem of Shesterkin and certainly Quick, 3-time Stanley Cup champion. So they've got a team with a lot of experience, but they're also playing against a team that they respect greatly. I mean, Carolina has been a heck of a hockey team for a long time now, and their record would say that. And the way they play on a nightly basis, the way they're coached, the way they approach the game, they are full marks. They're an outstanding team led by an outstanding coach. And for me, one of the great elements is looking at the two coaches. You know, Laviolette, you know, is a guy that coached and won a championship with his captain, who is now, you know, they're 1-3 in the league of 32 teams. Pretty impressive.
Certainly some great storylines. Just on Lafreniere, you know, I'm watching him, Gravy, and he kind of reminds me, and you mentioned adjustments, and we can't forget the Eastern Conference in 1994 when Keenan bumped up Alex Kovalev up with you and Mass to turn that guarantee into a lock for us by Mass. But Lafreniere strikes me as maybe this year's version of an Alex, where he's got the skill to be a difference maker here. Do you see some similarities if we don't completely look at the skill for skill factor here?
Yeah, and I will tell you this, and this is it's a blanket statement for anyone that's ever played the game. The thousands of National Hockey League players at Borny, Alex Kovalev,
yeah,
might be in the top three most skilled players that I have ever seen, witnessed.
Wow.
We used to play keep away, and I know it's playoff time, but we used to play keep away for 10 minutes after practices all the time. Kipper play, I play, Book, Joey Kosher, and there'd be some more skilled guys than us playing, but we would play keep away. And this wasn't like your regular keep away where you're just kind of stick checking and stick on puck. If you could, you know, cream a guy into the boards, you were trying to, like, literally, it was the most physical keep away. And we would play for 10 minutes. And I am not exaggerating, Kip. You can jump in if I'm incorrect.
Yeah.
Alex Kovalev would have the puck on his stick for 9 of the 10 minutes. You couldn't get it off him. He would put it out in front of you.
Yeah.
He put it back into his skates. If you thought, oh, you know what? He was young at the time. He came to the league at 6'1", maybe 190 pounds. He finished his career at 230, 6'3". Ridiculous.
But I tried to trip him on purpose, and I couldn't do it.
Or if you line him up, he just reverse shoulder you, like, yeah, and you'd be down on your end. But it was ridiculous how skilled he was. But to get back to Lafreniere, there's a reason, you know, he went and not only his competitiveness, his physicality, there's a reason he went first overall. And he's just growing into his body. He's growing into, he's finding out who he is. And you know what? I think that playing with Trocheck and Panarin, that those three complement each other. So it's not a one-way street. It's, I think, in many ways, they've really, I think it's helped all of them in different ways. But certainly his youthfulness, and you've seen it, you know, where he had a couple goals earlier in the series. He's a player that can be a difference maker without question. He works extremely hard, and he's a great kid.
Hey, Gravy, that's awesome stuff. Just one more thing, and, you know, you're the co-founder of Smile Zone, and I think you guys hit a milestone today. It's a charity that does an amazing job of improving the lives of children that receive medical whatever medical situation that they're in your health facilities. Anything you want to mention there with Smile Zone?
No, we had Paul Henderson. It was our 400th zone, and Kip, you are as supportive as any of my, sorry, we're brothers and buddies. We Kip, Borny, Kipper and I grew up together in Toronto at Seneca College Hockey School in our mid-teens,
yep.
And have been buddies, and he is there every year at our goal. He's always, he never says no, that's the gift of the game. And Borny, even last night I was watching, I see you all the time, and I see Kip, obviously. But last night when they're talking about your dad, and I saw Ron talking, just fantastic. For me, that's the gift of the game, is yeah. The people and what you can do with the game. Smile Zone is, we just go into hospitals and we try to put in fun areas to put a smile on their face. And we all have kids or have had kids or deal with kids. And you know what? There's nothing more important. So for us to have this opportunity to use hockey in a small way as a platform with some of these things, Paul Henderson, as classy a man as there is, has been a huge, he's been an ambassador for over a decade. But 400 zones and growing, Kip. It was at Humber River. It was fantastic. And we look forward to many, many more. And certainly with the support of good people and good friends, it makes the journey that much more fun.
400 awesome. Across Canada. Wow. Gravy, congratulations yes. on that. Keep up the great work. The game's lucky to have you involved in it, pal. Thanks for doing this.
Yeah, thanks so much for your time. Hey.
Great to see you guys. Well, I'll continue to watch.
Thank you. That Thanks. Is Adam Thanks, Graves. What that's a awesome. Class act.
No kidding. Wow, that's awesome. 400.
Love it. Kovalev. Nasty.
Yeah. Who doesn't love a good story of Alex Kovalev?
Oh, gosh. He was so much fun. And he's one of those guys where, like, he's a sponge. He decides to go get his pilot's license.
Kovalev.
Yeah. And he gets his pilot's license. One day he comes into the dressing room, is like... His lips are like Daffy Ducks. I'm like, did you get punched in the face? He goes, no, I'm learning how to play the saxophone. I'm like,
no way.
Oh, my God. Your lips are like swollen. He goes, yeah. I didn't sleep last night.
I did not
night.
See that coming.
I was playing the saxophone for like 12 hours.
I'm like, that's incredible.
Oh, I love that. Great. Love that guy.
Fun fact, I played saxophone
in
high school.
I also played saxophone in high school.
I own a saxophone. There's a saxophone at my house.
I wanted the saxophone so badly, but I got strings and they gave me the bass.
Oh, boring.
Oh, the worst.
Yeah, that's the worst instrument you can play.
The Anyways, worst.
All right, it's game time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app, play the odds, and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19+. Ontario only. Please play responsibly. So just a couple wonderful hockey games on the ice tonight. New York right. Rangers in Carolina. The Carolina Hurricanes are pretty huge favorites tonight. They are -160 favorites.
Wow.
They have a really big home ice advantage. They're the hotter team. That, to me, is a little bit of a fishy number. I do like the Rangers at +135. I do think they're the better team.
Get Shesterkin at +135. Tough to say no.
I wish I had the stats on, like, how many times even a team down 3-0 has even forced a game 7. Like, it feels like it's a big task to beat a team like the Rangers 3 times in a row. And to get the Rangers at +135 seems like a great number to me. So that's what I'm looking at.
Hold on. Before you tell us the next one, can I give you a Trocheck stat I just
Absolutely.
Found while searching through their numbers?
Yes.
He leads the Rangers in ice time. Their forwards in ice time. Second place is Zibanejad at 20:47. He's at 23:11. Trocheck is playing over 23 minutes. I know there's some overtime in there, probably.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But over 23 minutes per game for the Rangers. As a forward, that's nutty.
He is, you know how I love to have my most underrated guys in the league conversation. He's actually in it.
He's leading them in shots as well.
Can you see Freddie Anderson beating Shesterkin three games in a row?
I know. That's why.
Win the Vezina. I'm out of my mind. Yes, I can.
That's why, to me, not the Vezina, the Conn Smythe.
Yeah, I don't know. The
Rangers, to me, that's just plus 1.35 is a great number. And the Edmonton Oilers are minus 150 favorites tonight in Vancouver, plus 125 for the Vancouver Canucks on the money line if you want to go that way. It's a pretty big number. And quickly, before we go, massive game in the NBA tonight. Denver Nuggets, Minnesota Timberwolves. Nikola Jokic just putting on an absolute show. Love him to death. Give me the Denver Nuggets on the money line, plus 115. Jamal Murray, good Canadian boy. They're going to end the series tonight and head to the semifinals in the NBA.
Do you see the Matthew Jokic about why he's been throwing the dunks down freaking so nature. Hard? He's become a freak of nature.
I love that man. He's my favorite. Him and Anthony Edwards, my two favorite players in the NBA, and they're playing against each other. So there you go. A little NBA action for you tonight as well. That was Game Time, presented by Bet365. Visit the app for latest odds and find out why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Must be 19 plus, Ontario only. Please play responsibly.
Okay, what happens in Vancouver tonight?
That's quite the number on Vancouver.
Plus 125.
That they, are at home, that they were the better team, well, had more points in the regular season. I just feel like the Oilers are going to oil at some point. They're going to score four goals. At some point in the game, I feel like Pickard will give up a couple. 4-3 Oilers.
I picked the Vancouver Canucks to win this series. They're going to win this series. They got to win this game. Give me the Vancouver Canucks 5-4 overtime winners tonight.
Rob Brown with a good analysis that tonight's game 7 for Vancouver. It's interesting.
They need it. And I think they're going to win 5-4.
Yeah. I think he's going 7.
Yeah. So who's the one tonight?
I'll take Vancouver at home tonight too.
Yeah.
It's funny, they're playing a game that is really taking away from the Oilers at 5-on-5. They haven't got that depth scoring, and I can see it being close. I can see it being close for sure.
Love this Vancouver team, boys. I really do. I love the squad. I love Zadorov.
Yeah. This
JT Miller.
Fan base in Vancouver is, they're invested, boy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They are.
For sure.
My boy Gaz is taking it hard, and he isn't even mean to him.
How about Kale McCarr, boys?
Dancing.
Running. Yeah, we didn't even mention.
Well, I mean, it's the off day for that one, but God.
Tomorrow we'll give it its proper time, but this guy is, he's our modern day Bobby Orr.
He really is.
Yeah, the way he skates is, I know Heiskanen is an unbelievable skater too, but the way McCarr makes people miss is otherworldly.
I played one of the best and, just had gravy and Brian Leetch and I don't want to take anything away from Brian Leetch, but this guy is quicker.
Well, McCarr is doing things
quicker,
quick
statistically, than anyone
that even Brian didn't have.
Yeah.
It is phenomenal.
He does that like juke where he's going at guys, and it reminds me of a football running back, got a guy isolated.
He's Earl Campbell. Do you remember Earl Campbell, running back?
No. Well, how about we'll go with maybe Marshall Faulk or
maybe Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, Adrian Peterson.
He's got running back.
Barry Sanders.
Yeah.
Fast twitch muscles. Yeah,
and just lateral movement.
Boom, gone.
And whoever winger he turned into dust last night, he then cut back into the slot. And
I just, Nathan MacKinnon is just, the puck lands on his stick in a sweet spot.
Yep.
They need the goal. And
Dallas is better, and he just
hits the back of the net hard. Like it's just, there was never, when he picked that puck up at the hash marks, there was never a doubt that was hitting the mesh. Yeah. God, I love MacKinnon.
Hey guys, listen, before we go to, before we end the show, a lot of tributes going in.
Absolutely.
For TSN host Darren Titician.
Yeah.
We got the news today that has moved on. Our condolences to the Titician family. Our condolences to our friends at TSN. I know over the years we've had this rivalry, but I assure everybody that's just there for servicing all of you for the best product that we have out there. We have got many good friends over at TSN, and
for sure.
We just want them to know we are as sad on this side as you are on your side as well. So
I will say, he is one of the main reasons I did this kind of stuff. Him on SportsCenter in the morning, I love that.
If you didn't know him, you still felt like he was your buddy.
Absolutely. So glad you said that, Kip. It's an awful loss for the sports community. So there you go.
All right, two games on hand tonight. Enjoy them, and we're back tomorrow on Off the Rails Friday.